We're on Chaf Beis Amar Aleph. Mishnah says, Suga ha-miduvleles, muduvleles. What in the world is miduvleles? That is a very unusual word. Rashi also thinks it's an unusual word. So Rashi says, don't worry, I got you covered. What does Rashi say? L'kam imforesh l'gemara. The Gemara will explain to you later on what it means. I know you're nervous, says Rashi. He knows you're nervous. It's okay. Relax. Visha tilasimir mechamasa. And, there's the vav there. Vav usually means, and. Its shade is more than its sun, ksheira. Do we need to say that?
Yes.
Why? Isn't that the first Mishnah in the entire Masechta?
Yeah, but it's saying, like, if it's not arranged the right way, but it also has...
Wait, you mean it's part of the first phrase?
It's
sugam duvelas she sila. What's the vav doing there?
Oh no, it's n.
It's a different.
It's saying even if it's like not arranged, even if it's like what's the word?
Well, let's take a vote. Everyone, please look at the two first phrases of this Mishnah. The Mishnah says sugam duvelas. There's seemingly a comma there, but that's part of this issue. Now, seemingly there are two ways to read this. Are we with me? Are we together?
Yeah.
One way to read it is a sukkah that's called meduvlales, and we don't know what that is. But Rashi says, don't worry, the Gemara will explain. And its shade is more than its sunlight. Meaning, it's not. I mean, and, meaning provided that, no? We'd have to say, as long as, because the shade being more than sunlight is a requirement of the basic ABCs of Sukkah. That was the first Mishnah in the entire Masechta, remember? The Chamasa Miruba Mitzilah says Psula. One of the basic requirements of Sukkah is that the Schach has to be less than 20 Amos, except according to Rabbi Yehuda. But we pass it has to be less than 20 Amos. And one of the basic ABCs is Shech Chamasa Miruba Mitzilah says Psula. If there's more sunlight allowed in than shade, it's no good. So what is the Mishnah saying? A sukkah that is meduvlales and it's silasim mirum chamas kshera, meaning sheh. It provided that. Whose? So it doesn't make sense. What is it? It's a second case? Because maybe it's not one case. Maybe it's a second case. A sukkah meduvlales is one case. B, or a sukkah that has more shade than sun is kasher. Well, that's obvious again from the first Mishnah. So what in the world is going on? So right away, we are struggling to understand this Mishnah. So what does Rashi say? Shilus mrucha mas ksheira. Legalak shuye tanina chadazimna. You shouldn't answer. There is not to ask. Tanina chadazimna. We learned this already. You see where Rashi says you learned it already? La'ayal, the Beis Meral. The first Mishnah of the entire Masechta. Shechamas mrucha psula. Because there it says, if the sunlight's greater than the shade, it's no good. No, not akasha. Why? They are not comparable one to the other. It makes Shikasha and Hadadi that you should ask a question from one on the other. Kidarminu b'gemara, Mishaninan, as the Gemara will ask and answer. So again, basically Rashi is saying, patience. The Gemara will deal with it. But you're right. You're on the right track. It's always nice that Rashi gives us a pat on the back, no? Yeah.
What do we care if it's an end or shed?
Well, I would say just on the surface, the first time you read it, so you're going to ask yourself, is the Mishnah telling us two different cases, two different types of sukkah that are kosher? Or it's saying, number one, there's only one case here. It's sukkah meduvlales. The
so
only way it's kosher is if.
Confusing?
What?
So you're saying N can be confusing, meaning you might think that it's together or it could be separate?
If I'm a betting man, based on the linguistics of the Mishnah, I'm assuming it's a separate point. Because, yeah.
I was going to say, but like based on like, we already know that's like the first case of the Mishnah.
Yeah, so it doesn't make sense.
Obviously, it wouldn't make sense one way. So if you say end, it most probably means that they go hand in hand.
Right. So linguistically, we would be tempted to separate them. Because of existing information, we're now tempted to join them. The problem with joining them is, again, the same problem we started with that's also obvious. Because that's the ABCs of Sukkah. So either way, you didn't solve the problem.
The thing about joining them the same thing as saying provided.
Yes. Is that necessary to say? Because, again, go back to the first Mishnah. Chamasim rumitilasas psula. If there's more sunlight allowed than shade, it's no good.
It's just giving you a little reminder. Like, it's saying...
But that's what Rashi is pointing out, is the Mishnah is don't do that. We have a rule, Tanina Charazimna. Tanina Charazimna means we learned this already. So Rashi is telling you, the Mishnah is don't. You could have suggested that in Achanami, right? Could have suggested that. Rashi says you can't. That's a phrase that Gemara will say. It's different than Pshita. You're right. It's not like Pshita, because Pshita is like a Svara, like a Tabbias. But Tanina Charazimna means Mishnah is, Braises, Teseftas, do not repeat themselves. Unless there's a Chiddush to this particular case. Which, of course, is the direction in which the Gemara will head, has to be that in this case there's some kind of Chiddush to the form of majority shade in this particular case. Which is where we're going to head. But you're right on target. Then, there is clearly another case, because this is after the Psach Halacha of the Mishnah. Hamu'uva kemin bayis. What does the word of mean? Ayin bayis. Harsinai is described, there's something about Harsinai in this word. Anybody know? Be'av he'anan. That there was a thickness of the cloud. Moshe Rabbeinu went into the thickness of the cloud. So there's cloud that's on the edges, it's probably a fuzzy, you know? So you know, Kiddush Levana, right? You can see the moon sometimes, it's a little fuzzy, a little hazy, because there's a little bit of like haze. But sometimes there's an of anon, there's a thickness of the cloud, you can't see the moon at all. So that's what it means, very thick. Me'uva means it's very thick. Kimin bias, like a house. I mean, just say thick. What do you say like a house for? So if the schach is so thick, like a house, even though you can't see the stars from within it, Shera is nonetheless kosher. What did Rashi say about that? It's very thick. So what are you adding by saying kimin bias, like a house? What do you just say? It's thick. Why do you say like a house? Any suggestions?
Making it seem like
permanent. Maybe it's permanent in nature because it's so thick.
Or it's like providing that amount of like protection from that elements.
Right.
Like it's
so thick. It's like a permanent house in the sense that it protects you from, you know, rain and whatever else. Could very well be. Anybody have any other suggestions?
It shows permanence.
Still, we're on the same page thing. At the end of the day, it sounds like it's much more of a bias than a sukkah. Okay, fair enough. Gemara. My miduv leles. What does it mean? Miduv leles. I'm a Rav. So, we're going to have machlokas here, right? Who's Rav you should argue with?
Shmuel.
Yeah, Rav Shmuel. I'm a Rav Sukkah Aniya. What does that mean? What's an Ani? What's an Ani?
Poor.
Poor. Sukkah Aniya. A poor Sukkah. Poor Sukkah. Poor Sukkah. What does it mean exactly? So what does Rashi say? Aniya Sheyesh B'Schacha Kanim Ma'at. There's a few reeds, not so many branches there. V'yesh Ba'avir Harbei. There's a lot of airspace. El She'ein Boy Shleshe B'Yachad. But there's no space where you have three Tfachim. Of air. So it's all lovu to each other. Okay. We'll get to the second phrase of the Mishnah, how that... Right, we're already tempted, right? We already know what's going to happen. Rav says, it's talking about a shvacha, schacha. Sorry. It's talking about a sukkah that doesn't have enough... Well, it has enough schach, but doesn't have a lot. It's a lot of airspace there. So then we're going to read the Mishnah, obviously, as what? Vishet silas and mirchamasa. Now he's going to mean obviously what?
The shade,
yeah, provided that, right? So the question we'd have to ask is, well, tanin charazim, I mean, isn't that obvious? Okay, but at least that's where we assume Rav is going to go. There's basically one case to the Mishnah, and the shet silasa, vishet silas mirchamasa means even though it's very shvach, schach, but nonetheless, as long as it's good enough, it's good enough. So I'm not sure what the chiddush in that is. Shmuel Amar, and Shmuel said, Kana oila v'kana yoreid. What does that mean? Kana oila v'kana yoreid. The one branch goes up, one branch goes down. What do you mean one branch goes up, one goes down? I mean, they're on different levels. So you got to be careful about this. We spoke about this in the past. You could have a concept of a sukkah, gabi sukkah. There's one sukkah on top of another sukkah. That's a real problem. But apparently this is not a sukkah on top of another sukkah, because they're not parallel, these branches. They're spaced next to each other or something like that. So apparently it's not a sukkah on top of a sukkah, but the branches are not even. It's one up, one down, one up, down, up, down. Up and down. So the Gemara then goes on to say, like fills in the blank here. So Rav Tani Chada, Ushmuel Tani Tarte. Therefore, the word therefore doesn't appear in the Gemara, but what the Gemara is saying is, therefore Rav learns one, and Shmuel learns two. What are you talking about? That's a very funny phrase for the Gemara to say. One, two, what? So the answer is, the phrases or cases in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said, is that one case, or is that two? Rav's going to learn it as one case, and Shmuel's going to learn it as two. Gemara explains. Rav Tani Chada, Rav learns this one case, Sukkah Meduvleles, my Meduvleles. What does it mean that it's Meduvleles? Oh, finally, an explanation. Meduvleles. So, when I read this word the first time, I thought it meant like dildul. Dildeles, I thought, meant hanging. So, like, I pictured in my mind, like, a case that we had a long time ago where some of the schach is like hanging inside the sukkah. So, that's not the pshat. It comes from the word dull, which means a poor person, which is what Rav said. What did Rav say the sukkah meant? What did Rav say originally? Aniya. So, aniya, what's another word for an ani? Dull. Who knows? Does anybody can think offhand of pasuk maybe that has the word dull in it? And halal maybe? Mikimi? Yafar dull. Mikimi mi yafar dull. Heard a number of times in Tanakh the word dull. Dull means a poor person. So meduldeles apparently means meduvleles, meduldeles. Somehow, however, that etymologically works, but it's the same word that means the very poor sukkah in the sense that the schach is very shvach. No one else thinks it's funny but me, huh? Whatever, little rational problem. Anyway, so Rav says it's all one case. It's a sukkah that's very poor. She, notice there's no vav. She tzilasa mirubi mechamasa. Provided that the shade is greater than the sunlight allowed, shera, it's kasher. Okay. Ushmul tani tarte. Shmuel holds its two cases. My meduvleles, mebulbeles. What bilbul? What's a mebulbel? What does that mean? What's a bilbul? Don't tell me Bilbo Baggins. It's like mixed up. Mixed up. It's not straight. It's all mixed up. So there's one above, one below, one above, one below. Vitarti katani. And it's two cases in the Mishnah. Sukkah mebulbeles kshera. A sukkah whose schach is up and down and up and down and up and down is kasha. Veshetzilasim ruchamas kshera. And if there's more sunlight than shade, also, if there's more shade than sunlight, it's also kshera. What do you say that for? I mean, come on. But the truth is, the question exists in both cases because at the end of the day, we know that a sukkah, in order to be kasha, the basic requirement is it has to have more shade than sun. So it's a kasha really in Rav and Shmuel. What is it doing in the Mishnah altogether? You think it's stronger on Shmuel? Because in Shmuel, it's like really saying the same thing we said in the first Mishnah.
Yeah, it's like on Rav, it might be okay. There's probably a reason why.
What is the chiddush going to Rav? Why are you happier with Rav?
Because Rav isn't an outright repetition. It's more of a, it's just reminding you of a condition. But there's probably a reason for that reminder. And based on like what was said here about.
Okay, we're gonna fight. We're gonna fight. I'm sorry. We're gonna fight. I need everybody's input onto this. Okay. What's the chiddush according to Shmuel? If you're going to allow a sukkah that has up and down schach, up and down, up and down, up and down, is there a reason why you would think there's something wrong with it?
It might have places where
they
will be able to see
the
stars.
Seeing the stars is the issue. You can probably see stars better because it's up and down. You can see through.
Love it.
In other words, maybe we view the two layers of schach as independent, as separate from one another. And maybe each one is not good enough. Who says we're going to say love it? Who says we're going to put them together? So you can make an argument in Shmuel that there's a pretty significant chiddush there. Yeah? Anyone want to disagree about that? Yeah, we're okay with that? Okay. Shmuel, Rav's case. What's Rav's case? There's not so much schach on the sukkah. So, what's the chiddush?
There isn't.
But you're okay with this, right? Okay, so that's why we're fighting. So, according to Rav, I don't understand from beginning to end. Rav, the whole chiddush is that a sukkah's kosher as long as it is more shade than sun. That's the whole chiddush. That mamish is the same. That's the first mission. Chamas and Rutsilas Absula. Psilas and Ruben Chamas and Kshayra. So I don't know what to do with Rav at this point. It seems like mamish. Just a repetition.
So, like, Shmuel is just saying. Okay, so the way you see Shmuel is that since they're both, we might consider them independent and each one might not be good.
That's one possibility,
because,
right?
Because they happen to be together, they happen to create more sun than shade.
That's so one way to look at it, right?
His fetish is that these two, that we do see them as together, even if they're both not good, but because they're together, they end up being fine.
Good. Makes sense, right? That's a chiddush.
That makes more sense.
That's a chiddush. But Rav, I don't understand. So that's what we have so far. And the Gemara fills in the blank. This is according to Rav, it's all one case. It's really just saying that you have to have more shade than sunlight. And according to Shmuel, apparently it's two cases. The second one, we have no idea what the chiddush is. But the first one, at least we can make an argument. There's some chiddush to the first case of sukkah, miduvleles, which he interprets to mean, and mibulbeles. So we're left with a bam kash on Rav. Like, what's your chiddush? Why is this here? And on Shmuel, we're left with a detail in the Mishnah. Why is that phrase of the Mishnah there if we already know it? Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Leishanu elisha ein bein zela zesh leisha tvachim. So we're zeroing in on Shmuel now, not on Rav. In Shmuel's case, where you have sukkah going up and down, he says, we only learn this. Learn what? That it's kosher, that it's pasul. We only learn this. Elisha ein bein zela zesh leisha tvachim. When there is not between the two layers three tvachim. Psula. Oh, okay, so he spells it out. In other words, it's pretty clear, according to Abaye, that what principle is at work here? Obviously, three tvachim. Everyone should be chiming in. Three tvachim. Less than three tvachim is? Lavud, thank you. Lavud. So if it's more than three tvachim, if it's three tvachim or more away, we can't say lavud. And then we have to view the layers as distinct. And then we theoretically could have a problem. But if they're close enough, so then we'll say lavud. So Shmuel's allowance for this sukkah that's up and down is because we're not going to view them as separate layers at all. We have a right to view them as one layer based on the principle of lavud. Now, there is a chiddush in that because we've discussed lavud from the schach to the wall. And in the past, we even discussed lavud with less than three tefachim in the middle to connect the layer. We've never actually discussed lavud on schach that goes up and down. It's okay. So we're okay saying that that's a chiddush, and that's what the Mishnah is saying, that we even say lavud to allow two layers of schach to be considered to be one layer. Amar, that's a bayi. Amar Rava. Rava said, Afili yesh ben zel ezesh leisha tefachim, nami le amaran, leisha ein begagoy tefach. Even if there is between the two layers three tvachim, meaning even if you cannot say lavud, nami lo yamaran, we also don't say it, elisha ein begagay tefach, when there is not a tefach of width of the piece of schach. Aval yesh begagay tefach, but if there is a roof, so to speak, that's a tefach ksheira, it's still kosher, even more than three tvachim away, de amrinan chavut rami. Chavut Rami, however exactly you pronounce it. Chavut Rami. That we say something called Chavut Rami. So, okay, what is Rava saying? Abaye seems to be saying that Shmuel only allows this sukkah to be kasher. The way he understands the Mishnah is that it's a chiddush in Lavud. That's it. If you can't say Lavud, sounds like you're finished. Rava comes along with a further chiddush, and you have to ask yourself, would Abaye disagree? Is Abaye saying the chiddush is only in Lavud? So that's a good question. But for sure what Rava is saying is that I can say a chiddush even when it's more than three tefachim away. What do you mean? Because if you have a piece of schach that's a tefach wide, So then we can, we remember what we used to do, we had all these ideas before, where we view good usik, good achis, remember all of this? That if there's a tefach, thick pole, piece of schach, we can imagine an imaginary wall coming down. Do you remember this? We did this a couple of times. Spoke about it by, yeah, it's on the board. We spoke about it by this whole area. We have the awnings on top. So we said, well, what if you have a sukkah and just like a little bar at the end, a little tefach thick piece of schach? You can imagine that as a whole wall. So here too, if the piece, that's why Rava insists it has to be a tefach. If you have a piece of schach that is a tefach, we can imagine it going down. It like goes down. Makes like a certain type of wall. So that encloses it. It connects it. Not because love would, that it brings the two together. It connects it because we can imagine that imaginary wall that's there. So since it's made out of schach, we imagine like an imaginary wall that comes down, and that's what connects it to the next piece of schach underneath it. So according to this, Rav is not saying we don't say love would. Rav is masculine, agrees. You can say love would. But even when you can't say love would, there is a case where you can still say the sukkah is kasher, where the piece that's higher, the higher level, is a tefach wide. Then we can imagine that it connects to the piece underneath it, utilizing this principle called chavut rami. Now chavut comes from the word of like chibut. Chibut arava. What did you guys do with your aravas on before that? You know what they say. What does the arava represent in the Arba Minim? The esrog represents what type of Jew? Smells good and tastes good. What does he have?
He has good.
He has Torah and he has Mais and Tovim, right? Okay. Smells good and he tastes good. So he has both Torah, Mais and Tovim. And the lulav, so he can eat the palm heart, the heart of the palm, whatever, you know? So it has something over there, but it doesn't have any smell. And the hadassim only have smell. They have any taste at all. And the aravas represent Jews that have no Torah and no Mais and Tovim. So what do? On Sukkot, we bring them all together. We bring them all together, we unify them. Everyone is welcome, everyone is brought in, until suddenly it's a Shana Rabbah, and then we take the Arabis, and we beat them, and we beat them, and we beat them! Right? Anyway, but... that's not exactly true, but... Chabut is referred to as Chibut Arabah. That we take the Arabis and we... Chibut. So one understanding of that is... we beat them. We bring them down to the ground. That's really the idea there. Rizal, so he said that it's taking certain things that are represented by the Rav, so that have to do with Midas Adin, and we bring them down to the ground. We smack them on the ground. But in any case, so Chavut means to bring it down. Rami, I don't know. But that's what it means. Chavut, Chibut Rami. Okay, so now we have this. Okay, so what do we have so far? We have a question on the interpretation of the Mishnah. What exactly is a Chiddush? We have Rav. We don't understand the Chiddush according to Rav, really. We have Shmuel, who we do understand the Chiddush. But the question is, what exactly, or how far does the Chiddush of Shmuel's version of the Mishnah, how far does Shmuel's Chiddush go? Is it only a Chiddush in Lavud? Because you can say Lavud up and down. Or, additionally, according to Rava, can you even say a Chiddush in what's called Chavut Rami? That you can imagine more than 3 tefachim of distance between these pieces of schach, we imagine almost like an imaginary wall that comes down and connects them. Can we say that? And Abaye might well disagree with that. I say, no, that's not what the Mishnah meant. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Minala, where am I coming from to tell you that there's such a principle of Chabur Rami? You need a raya for that, right? That's a big chiddush. Where am I coming from that when there is a tefach you can say that it comes down? And if there's not a tefach, so then you can't say chavur rami. I'll prove it to you. This now. We learn in a Mishnah. So I put the picture on the chat. Did you all see the picture? So you can have two permutations of the case that we're going to discuss. You can have a sukkah where it's basically two levels, but the boards or the schach, whatever you want to call it, are directly parallel. One's directly on top of the one beneath it. Or they could be staggered in a way where one is not on top of the other. Now, the way to tell the difference between the two is look at the bottom of the sukkah. Does the bottom of the sukkah have one slat, you know, one piece of schach of shade? Or is there actually shade covering the entire bottom of the sukkah? So if one's right on top of the other, you're not going to have necessarily enough shade. And if they're one next to each other, even though they're distanced from one another, but still on the bottom will be shade. The Rebbe says, how do I know that it's such a concept of Chabad Rami? She says, let's deal with Tumah V'Tahara. And you know, it's unbelievable. I don't know how many times we've done this, but have you noticed that the Gemara keeps going back to halachas of Tumah V'Tahara? And you'll ask me, but I thought Tumah V'Tahara sometimes is a very different category of halacha. Remember I gave you the example of a suffik. That, well, we'll go back one step. The Vilna Gaon said, when the Torah says you go to the Sanhedrin, so it says, ki pale mimcha davar, when something will be a pele to you, will be beyond you. Bein dam le dam, bein din le din. Where's my balkoria? Nega le nega. What's the next one? Divrei. Rivot bisharecha. That, and there's all sorts of machlokes. So all of these cases, you have to take the Sanhedrin. Why do you have to tell me different cases? Just say, ki pale mimcha davar. When you don't know the answer, go to the Sanhedrin. Why does it? If it's this, the Vilna Gaon says, because categories of Torah don't always overlap. Just because something's true in Tumah V'Tahara doesn't mean it's true in Esser V'Heter. So let's say the Avalach of Safik. Safik Deraisa, Safik Derabanan, Lakula, Safik Tumah Bershus Arabim, Safik Tumah Bershus Yachid. What? That's right. It's something to do with the Raisa Darbonans. The rules of Sveikas by Tumah V'Tahara go by Rosh HaSayachad and Rosh HaSarabim. It's a totally different approach. Why? Because it's a different area of Torah. Not all categories overlap. So what gives us the right to go ahead and go to a Mishnah that has to do with Tumah V'Tahara and apply it to Schach? But what's the easiest answer? Are there any rules of Schach that have to do with Tumah V'Tahara? Can't it not be Kabbal Tumah? Exactly, right? One of the fundamental rules of Schach is that it can't be Kabbal Tumah. So apparently there is overlap here between Tumah V'Tahara and Schach, no? So that at least would be a way to start answering this question. Okay, just an interesting thought process. So, Rebbe says, I'll prove it to you from Tumah V'Tahara. Where is the Mishnah? Also, please give me a second. This is not a Mishnah. You have these beams of the house and the upper level, the upper story, you want to call it an attic, whatever you want to call it. But there are two levels of this house, a lower level and an upper level. And they don't have any plaster coating, any cement coating. There's no maziva, means the coating that you would put on top of your beams, you know, to put the finishing touches on your roof, make it waterproof and whatnot. They mechuvanos. What does the mechuvanos mean? Kivun literally means what? Direction, or direct something. So kavana means directed thought. That's what kavana means. So they are mechuvanos means they are directed or directly one on top of the other. So mechuvanos means they are directly one on top of the other. So it's this picture, if that helps. The picture where you have one row of shade on the bottom, because each piece of schach, each beam, is covering directly the other beam. So there's space in between the two. So tuma tachas achas mehen. If there's tuma under one of them, tachtea tame. So then underneath would be tame. In other words, each one of those boards is its own what? What word are we going to call it for tuma with our purpose? Anybody know? Tumas Ohel. Each one becomes its own Ohel. Are we together on that?
Yeah.
We're talking about Tumas Meis, a Tumah that rises up, so it can't rise past a roof, past an Ohel, past a tent, past a gag. So if it's going to be a Tevach, so it'll be considered a roof, and the Tumah will get stuck underneath it. It'll also spread wherever it goes, Tumas Meis, but it'll get stuck underneath it. So if you have Tachat Achaz Mehen, Tachteh HaTameh. So because it's considered a legitimate roof, the Tumah is stuck underneath it. If the Tumah is between the lower one and the upper one, so what would be the halacha? Beinayin Tamei. And the Tumah remains in between the two. It can't go down, and it can't go up. Al Gabe El Yoina, if it's on top of the upper one, so no, Keneged Ad L'Rakia Tamei. Then opposite that spot, only that spot of the Tumah, until the sky would be Tamei. Right? The airplane's going to have troubles, you know? The Kohanim on the airplanes, maybe. But there's nothing to spread it. It's just like that spot enough. Hayu El Yoina is Kivena Tachtoinais. If the upper ones are in between the lower ones. So if you would squish them down, you'd have a whole row of boards. But there's one on top of the other. There's a lot of space in between the two. So you have board, and then up next to it is a higher one, lower, higher, lower. Then what? Tumatach tehen. Well, so let's pause for a second. What do you think should happen? Well, it really depends, right? If we view this as two different layers, so maybe it should be the same thing. Maybe each board is going to be considered its own roof.
Or you could just say, like, oh, because they're not together, if he skips the first one, then it skips the second one, it should go up.
Well, it can't get past whatever's above it, right?
Well, if there's openings, if there's a certain amount of openings between the boards, huh?
Yeah, if there's space. That's, but what if there's no space?
What we're dealing with, though, there's two layers, and each has space.
So, I guess just looking at it from the front, right? So if you have a sukkah, you have a roof or whatever, that's like this. So you have space here in between the two. But imagine there isn't really space in between all these boards. Does that make sense? So on the ground it would be like all shape.
Yeah, but this
you want to say there could be space in between?
Does Tumah just go straight up or is it like in a...
It goes straight up unless it hits a roof, in which case it'll spread.
Yeah, then it's gonna be a block because there's no space in between the two planks.
Right. So here's the thing: if we view them each independently, so if there's a tumah here, it's gonna go here and get stuck. But if we view this as connected, so then the tumah is gonna get stuck under both of them. And if we view the next one as connected and all connected, then the tumah will spread under the entire roof. So it's very important to know, can we view each one of these boards, despite the fact on different levels, can we view them as one, and the Tumah spreads everywhere, or do we view them independently, and it'll keep the Tumah under this one, or under this one, or under this one, or under that one.
So wow, it's very telling.
If it's the case where it's one on top of the other parallel, like perfectly,
yeah,
then the Tumah wouldn't spread.
Exactly. So let's do that case just...
I don't know if anybody have a tissue. See, if you have a case...
Why do you get a tissue? I'll get a tissue.
It doesn't matter. If you have a case like this, where they're mamash directly one on top of the other, so any tumah on the ground goes here and gets stuck there. If it's in the middle, goes here and gets stuck there. If it's here, that's what I meant, goes out of the rakia, goes up to Shinrai. But there's nowhere else for it to spread.
But we want to know what's the case here when they're on different levels. So do you say that we view this wall like Rava was originally insisting, which of course is what he's going to point to this Mishnah to prove? Do we say that they are considered connected? Or do we view them as separate, and then the Tumah won't spread throughout the whole bottom? Okay. So that's the question. So what does the Mishnah say? If the upper ones are kibain, are like in between hatachtoinois, the lower ones. So that's the case. That's this case right here. Kibain. So then what are we going to say? Kibain. Tumah tachtein. If the tumah is on the bottom, tachas kulan tamei. Under all of them are tamei. Okay, so that's, you know, knockout
that's
punch.
That's not telling us anything new, though.
What?
That's not telling us anything new.
No, it's a huge chiddush, because now we know that all the boards, even though they're on different levels, are considered connected.
No, because it says it's under everything, that everything is...
Tachas, tumatach tehen, if the tumah's underneath them...
Them, meaning all of them.
Oh, you mean it's like a huge dead body under all of them. Well, that's obvious. That's obvious. That's pshita.
That's what I'm saying. It's, I don't understand, like... What are you saying now? Like, it would have said, it would have been like, why aren't they making it more clear to say if it's under one?
That's what it means. It means under any one of them.
Okay, fine.
Under any one of them. Tachas kulan tamei, then under all of them is tamei. Al gabeyen, and if it's on top of any one, kinegan al rakia tamei, then opposite that spot, up to the sky is tamei. Okay? B'tani Allah, and we learn on it, there's a braisa commenting on the Mishnah. When is this true? when each board is a tefach wide, ubeinayan paseach tefach, and the space in between the two boards are exactly a tefach. But if it isn't a paseach tefach between them, so then tuma tachas achas mayan tachteha tamei beinayan rad gobeyan tohor. So this goes back really to the first case, in other words, when they're parallel to one another. So again, when do we say this? We don't know what this is. This has two possibilities. This is case A or case B?
This is A, and this is B. A is the first case we discussed, where they are parallel, and B is when they are next to each other. So, when do we say this, says the Gemara? What's this? This meaning A, or this meaning B? So, we'll see in a minute that it means A.
Bizman sheyesh bohen tefach ubeinayan paseach tefach. When there is a tefach of roof space, where each one is a tefach wide, and in between them, that's why it only makes sense to be talking about case A, in between them is at least a tefach, the space, an opening of a tefach. Avo, ein beinayan paseach tefach, between the boards, there is not the opening of a tefach, the space of a tefach, then what? Then tuma tachas achas mehen, if tuma is under one of them, tachtea tamei, underneath it will be tamei, beinayan v'algabeyan, and in between them, or on top, is tohor. So what does that mean? What's exactly the case? Whatever, it's going to depend on the case. But the bottom line is that in terms of Tumah V'Tahara, you need a tefach in order to be considered some sort of roof, some sort of oyel, yeah? Only way Tumah spreads is if you have an oyel. In order to have that oyel, you need basically two things. You need a tefach this way, and you also need a tefach this way. So it has to be a tefach of up, a tefach of roof. So imagine that you have this case where there's one here, and there's the floor. So then we said it gets stuck here. That requires a tefach of space and a tefach of board. If this board is very close, so it doesn't really make a difference because it's underneath it. But if the tumah is here, so then it doesn't have an oil at all. So the tumah is just going to go up. There's nothing to keep it underneath. So there's no difference between being in between and it being on top. There's no oil. So if the tumah is underneath, then that doesn't really make a difference. But once the tumah is between them or on top, it all becomes the same thing. But if the tumah is in between and there's nothing to keep it underneath, underneath will still be tar. Because the tumah is going to go up, the tumah is not going to go down. So once you have more than a tevach, well, I guess it's going to get damaged under here, you're not going to be able to sit there if it's not a tevach. So there's enough space here that you can at least fit a person or some kalim or something. But the point is that as long as there's this, it's on something, the tumah will go up, it's not going to go down. Okay, but in any case, why did we quote all of this? For Rava's principle. So says Rava in explanation. Okay, let's go back in a minute. V'tani alav v'dimurim v'zman sheish bohen tefach ubeinayan paseach tefach. This whole case that we read in the Mishnah is assuming that there is a tefach of board and a tefach between all of the board, between the two boards. But if that's not the case, they don't have a space of a tefach between them. If it's underneath one of them, then it'll be tamei underneath. Tohor. But if the tumah is on the top, in between the boards or on top, then underneath it will be tohor. But in any case, says Rabbi Alma, you see from here, he is be tefach. When there is a tefach of width of these boards, what do we say? Amrinan chavut rami. You say that they are connected to one another, and then the tumah will spread underneath the entire roof. V'chiles be tefach. And if you don't have a tefach of space, lo yamrinon, chaburami, you cannot say that, shema mino. So that is Rava's Raya. The next point of the Gemara is pretty lengthy, so I think we're going to stop there. Yeah, all right, so we'll stop there for today, and we'll take a break for a couple minutes, and we'll do some halacha.